Praise God. He is good all the time. Got my bottle of water this morning. I found from previous experience, if I don't have this till I am done, I feel like I could spit cotton balls. It gets that dry. You know, I was just thinking about this technology of having wireless mic system. This is great. I remember when I was a kid growing up in church, the pastor we have, what a tremendous preacher. I mean, this guy, he would preach. He would have notes. You hardly ever see him look at notes. And man, could he preach. He had this white hair. His face would get red. But the old days, you had a mic, and it was stationed right here on the pulpit. And there was none of this wandering around. And you could tell, if he could just get freed from that pulpit and move, that man was going to preach. And he preached as it was, but he was just an amazing man. So thank God for wireless mics, just in case I want to wander a little bit this morning. I have I'll call a foundational text I want to read. I hope when the sermon is, after I'm done today, that you'll go back to this text and reread it in light of what I talk about today. It's kind of lengthy. I'm going to read the whole third chapter of Galatians and the first seven verses of chapter 4. Oh my gosh. But there's something powerful about the Word of God. First, the written Word is living and active. And the spoken Word is the Rhema, spoken Word, and it goes forth as a two-edged sword. So I feel it's warranted to take the time to read this passage of Scripture. And maybe we'll do something different this morning. I'd like for y'all to just kind of stand up and give honor to the Word. It's the Word of God. And if you could just stand, please, and do that to the reading of the Word, just to give the honor to that. Galatians chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed and crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After being with the Spirit, you are now trying to attain your goal by human effort. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise, but God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For a law has been given that could impart, if a law that was given could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into the hearts of the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we send forth this word, a seed that it would be planted in the hearts of men and women. Father, we just thank you for the return. We thank you that your word does not return void. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. It's really a privilege to stand up here before you guys to present a message in the absence of John, which is he is out getting his diploma for studying to, I guess, a degree in divinity or something. I know the word says that we should study to show ourselves approved, and our pastor is doing that. When I was asked if I would want to speak today in his absence, I thought, okay, I think I feel the Lord saying that I should do that. So, of course, then comes the next, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And that's always interesting because I find that sometimes a week might go by until I finally have an idea. But as soon as I said, Lord, what do you want to speak to on? Instantly in my mind, he said, my provision. I said, oh, cool. Well, that opens up a wide door of things. Let's face it, when we were born in this world, we were quite needy. We need clothing, we need fed. As we were growing up, children, we're in constant need. Even as we're growing up, we find ourselves in need of so much. We need healing, we need guidance and wisdom, and we need fellowship. And in this world today, we find that we need protection. There's so many things that we need, and even if you're one of these people who thinks, I got it in control, I need nothing, there will be a day when you will need someone or something. And that thing or someone is God. God has everything we need. I know you all know that. If you don't, he does. We have forgiveness from sin. He has spiritual gifts and blessings, health and healing, peace of mind. If there's something plaguing you, there's addiction, something, there can be deliverance from that. He offers that. It don't matter what you need. You may need protection. You might be confronted in a situation in life, this crazy world that we live in. You hear of guys, just stupid stuff, going out shooting people, just randomly. Well, come on. We need protection in this life. I don't care if you're armed to the hilt to defend yourself. And yes, I believe in the right to carry and bear arms. But you still need protection. Okay? There's times that we need financial help. We grow up, we get married, we get families. And no matter what you need, you're going to find, no matter what God's even given your best abilities, we're going to need His help and His intervention. No matter what we're blessed with and think we got this control, when we can get all worked up and stressed out about this and that, and bottom line is, God's got our back. Okay? Now, you might ask, you know, God, I know I'm giving maybe preaching the choir a little bit here, but God, a lot of times, I don't know, you go through life and situations come up, and maybe it's because we don't quickly get an answer, quickly get a response. We might ask, do I need to beg? Do I need to plead? God, help me. Prove I deserve your help. Look at me. I love you. I go to church every day. If I could, you know, can I earn it? I just need your intervention in my life. There's something, there's a desperate situation. I need you. I'm trying to be perfect. Maybe I'm perfect enough. But the bottom line is, to receive from God His bountiless, He's bountiful. He's given everything of Him, and Himself, and everything that He has for us. And I know Matthew 21:22 says, all we have to do is ask, believe, and we will receive what we've asked for. What I want to do is talk to you about having the confidence of what you believe. I want to help your believer today, this thing up here in your heart. I want to give you something to stand on, something that you can go to God and you can say with confidence. When you talk to Him, you have a confidence that He's going to come through. Because 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, now you could ask, Lord, strike that person dead. They deserve it. Oh, come on. God's all about love. He's not about striking people dead because you got offended. Of course, that's not His will. As you get to know God's heart, you get to know His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask for, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Okay? Faith is a foundation to receive anything from God. You can't even get saved unless you believe God's word. And what is it? You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Because if you want to please God, you got to believe Him. That's nice, but in order to believe, what can we hang on to that says, yes, God will come through for us, and His word is true, and it's for me, it's for you. We got to have something to stand on that we hook into that says, God's going to come through for us. Okay? Why do I believe? Why will He come through? The Bible says His word is full of promises. We know that. And it's about what He is. Let me catch up on my notes here. I get too fast and lose my place. The Bible is His word, it's full of promises to us about what His is ours. Yes, all that God is ours. His stuff is our stuff. I want you to think about that. His stuff is our stuff. What He is available to us. All John 16:15 says, all the Father has is mine. Do we know that what Christ has, He's given to us? Well, the Father says, what all I have, I've given to Christ, given to Jesus. I'm going to throw you something here. Did you know that God is legally bound to uphold and fulfill everything He's promised? Do you know that He has legally bound Himself to fulfill His word? He is. legally bound? Why? Why? Well, it started with love. God's nature is love. And all he wants to do is give to his kids and be with them and be everything that he can for them. Everything, fulfillment in every part of their life. That's his nature. I think last time I spoke a little bit about his love. That's who he is. God is love. Love is. Okay? How is that? How is that possible that everything we have is his and he's held himself legally obligated? I want to say blood. Blood. It has to do with something that we in modern society don't really know. We don't really understand the power of blood. We have gotten civilized. The strongest thing that we know in an agreement is a contract. Okay, you do a contract, you sign your name, and you're supposed to be obligated to fulfill the terms of the contract. And as we know, most contracts throughout our society are broken, forgotten about, and disannulled. So when you come to read God's scripture, and you're thinking, well, he's obligated himself, you think of a contract, right? Well, and then you're thinking, well, it's a contract, they get broken every day. But not so with God. It's about blood. You see, in John 3:16, we start to see what God was up to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Gave for what? Why did God give his Son? I'm going to throw a term at you. I know you've heard it before, but my goal, of course, is to help your believer. Your ability to believe God's word and stand on something when you read his word, will he come through for me? This blood covenant. Okay? Now, the passage I read at the beginning, when I'm done, I'm going to try to get through this blood covenant. Hopefully I could go on for hours because it's such a convenient, such an in-depth thing, so I'm trying to skim over this. But reread that later this week with the mind. Read it thinking blood covenant because it's going to mean something to you. Because I've read that passage many times, but when I think of it in light of blood covenant, it gives a different meaning of what's going on here and what took place. Okay? Blood covenant is a practice that has really started back earliest part of history. Blood covenant actually originated with God. When you think about it, when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? He had to kill an animal to clothe them. Blood was shed. But even from the beginning of separation from God, God started implementing blood covenant, the works of blood covenant. You see the spilling of blood. There's life in the blood. The blood is precious to God, and the thing that holds God to his word is Christ's blood. I mean, we sing about blood. Precious is the blood. Do we really understand what we're singing about? For the blood, there's so many songs. For it reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. We sing about the blood all the time. We teach about the blood. But in today's society, I think a lot of times we lose the effectiveness of what's really going on, what God's talking about. It's been practiced throughout history, of course. Now, I want to bring up the primitive cultures throughout years have entered into blood covenants or cutting a covenant because a blood covenant, actually, it's got to do with cutting and spilling of blood. And when I was a kid, I watched cowboys and westerns, and I talked to the Indians, we were going to be blood brothers, and, well, this is cool, you know. So, but society as a whole, we've kind of gotten away from that. I want to tell a story that took place in the 1800s. It's history, maybe not well known. I'll try my best to tell. I wish I was one of these people that could tell a story. Some people can just tell a story, and they hold you there and grip you, and it's like the whole time. I don't know if I'm going to try to tell a story. Bear with me. But this has to do with Mr. Stanley and Dr. Livingstone. I don't know if you know who they are. This was in the 1800s. Dr. Livingston was a missionary into the inner parts of Africa, which there is very little known. He was kind of an explorer, missionary, and different things. And they hadn't heard from him for a long time. So they sent Mr. Stanley in to look for him. Okay? Well, throughout his journeys, Mr. Stanley got a big party of his group. Of course, you know, he's not going through Africa all by himself. You know, I heard the story years ago. You study this in history a little bit. I did. And I thought, well, Stanley's just going through Africa by himself. No. What I found out, he must have like 200 people in his party going through. It's not how many finished. But throughout the course of this thing, in search of the interior of Africa looking for Dr. Livingston, he comes across this warlike chief of these tribes, of African tribes, high stature. He's a war chief. He wants to make war. Let me tell you, he was having problems with this chief. Okay, this chief, you know, wanted to make war with him. Well, Stanley's, he's not there to battle someone. He wants to go find this doctor. So one of his guides, I believe he was probably of Africa and knew the culture, he says, hey, why don't you cut a covenant with this chief? What? You know, Stanley says, what do you mean by cutting a covenant with this chief? So this guy said, yeah, if you cut a covenant, things will be okay. So he started to tell him what took place in cutting his covenant. Now, I'm going to tell you some of these things, a little different, but hopefully you'll see the resemblance of the covenant that took place back at Calvary. Okay? Then a basic tradition, this is going to vary a little bit along the line, or different people, but it's kind of about the same. Usually there's two people come together and they're with friends and a priest, and they exchange gifts. And they are indicating, when this exchange of gifts, what they're doing is they're indicating that all that I have, I give to you. Let's say I was going to break a covenant here with Rob. I would say, Rob, if you need what I have, it is yours. Okay? If you ever need anything, it's yours. In exchange, he gives me a gift, and he's saying, it's a symbolic gift, that whatever you need, you can have. It don't matter what it is. Okay? And this isn't a thing that to take advantage. Okay? And then there's a cup of wine brought in, and there's a decision made, and each participant's arm is cut, and the drops of blood are put in the wine and stirred together. And they drink the wine, which is kind of gross, I think. But then the priest step back, and then they start pronouncing these most awful curses that you can imagine on each of them. Okay? Now, it could be, you're going to come down with boils, and you're going to rot, and all these curses are pronounced on them. And the reason being is if you would break your part of the covenant, these curses would come upon you. And if you were to break the covenant, your kin would seek your death. You were to be handed over to the avenger. And then after that's done, then they put their arms together and mingle the blood, and they become blood brothers. Now Stanley, he's like, this is really disgusting. I don't want to do this, but yeah, okay, whatever. Then he goes through this ritual, and in the presenting of gifts, Stanley, he's having some health issues, stomach problems. He has this prized goat. Well, the chief wants his goat. Okay, something highly valued. So, okay, chief, you can have my goat. Well, okay, and chief presents him a gift. It's a stick. Now, it's kind of a fancy stick. It's got some fancy stuff on it. But the chief walks around with a stick all the time. Everywhere he goes, he carries a stick, but now it's Mr. Stanley's. He gets to carry the stick everywhere. Now, these covenants are so sacred, they go on to the third and fourth generation. Once you enter a covenant, you're kin, your family now. Okay? And usually what happens, it's got to do with maybe one tribe is weak in another area. They need the help, and so they'll go into covenants to combine and join with each other because they're in need. It's never based out of greed. It's usually the three basic reasons for cutting covenants: love and devotion, expression of dedication forever, protection, the strong become available to the weak, equality, one will not take advantage of the other. In all three, there is one, all that one has becomes a property and possession of the other if needed. So, what happened as this was done and was finished, Mr. Stanley continued on his way going through with his stick. And what he found out is when he went in his covenant, not only did he become a blood brother, but the authority that this chief carried in this region was passed over to him in the stick. He found out that every time he held the stick out, if he was in need of supplies, no problem. I see, we have to sell and trade with you. This chief said, hey, it's okay to sell and trade with Mr. Stanley now. Up to this point, they had put guards on their goods so they didn't get stolen. After they broke this covenant, cut this covenant, now it was like, you're going to die if you steal from Mr. Stanley. He's kin, and don't you mess with him. Okay, you understand the strength of this, I'm hoping. So it's not like traditional contracts that we have today. One of the strength of the blood covenant, we see that in a story in the Old Testament. King David. He was really good friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. In fact, they it says they loved each other. They loved each other so much that they decide, hey, they want to be go into a kind of covenant with each other. So they did. They cut a covenant with each other. And Jonathan gave David his coat of armor and different things. They exchanged gifts and went in this covenant. And as the story goes, Jonathan dies in battle. David becomes king. But in the process, after Jonathan's died, David is king. David remembers, it says he remembers the covenant that he cut with Jonathan. And he got so consumed with love. Now you gotta understand, God referred to David as a man after God's own heart. So here's David, consumed with love towards this Jonathan that's died, and he's wanting to fulfill the terms of the covenant. And he's saying, is there anyone of Jonathan's family that I can bless? I desire to give to on behalf of the covenant in the behalf of Jonathan. And there was one son, Mephibosheth, what a name, but that fast. So he actually looks him up, sends him, where is he? So they brings him back to the palace, sets him at his table, and makes him part of the family just because of the covenant. This boy didn't deserve it, he didn't earn it. He was part of the family. Sound familiar? Didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, but he was part of the covenant. He was kin because of a covenant between two other people. Page 4. You're lucky, really. We'll serve 5 pages, so we're getting close. I'll hurry. The covenant that God made with Abraham, of course, the covenant goes back with Abraham. It all starts, what even brought us up to why the cross happened was a covenant that God cut with Abraham. Okay? If you go back to the Old Testament, God was looking to make a connection with man. He had a plan, okay? When he created the world, he had a plan. One of those plans was to make a covenant with another man. And so God went into covenant with Abraham. He said, as you remember, through this, your seed, referring to Christ, the whole world will be blessed. Okay, so they go in this covenant. You know, it's pretty amazing. God walks through this blood sacrifice and it's consumed. And Abraham starts the whole circumcision thing, proving the covenant between him and God. And then at one point, God has to test the strength. How strong is this covenant for Abraham? And he asks what God should do. I mean, God asked, obviously, hey, give me your most prized thing. I want your son. Sacrifice your son to me. The promised son, So Abraham, he believed in God in the covenant that took place, and he actually went through with sacrifice. And now God's thought was worthy sacrifice, but it was as though he would have sacrificed. Now what happened there? Abraham proved the strength of that covenant. Now God was obligated to give his son in return. God gave his son, okay? God obligated himself to give his son, his best, his most honored, his only begotten son. So here we go. Now we fast forward to Christ's time. God's plan, God's desire to make himself available to all of mankind, all because he loves us. All because he loves us. During the Last Supper, Jesus, I find it interesting, the disciples must have knew what was going on a little bit, because God, you know, Jesus sitting there, hey, take this cup, this is the blood, eat this bread, this is my body. They're understanding blood covenant, okay? This isn't old news to them. We're reading, it's like, why are we, what's with the wine and the blood thing and the bread and the body? Well, God's, Jesus is talking covenant. Okay, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb that was needed to enter into an everlasting covenant with the Father. Jesus is the high priest of an everlasting priesthood, never having to offer sacrifices. Because see, in the Old Testament, the priest had to go in every year and offer sacrifice for the sins of the people and the scapegoat. The judgment for sin is satisfied. Okay, now let this sink in. The judgment for sin is satisfied. Sin calls for judgment, it says in the Bible. But the judgment for sin is satisfied. Okay? The mediator for us is Christ the Father. But through the new covenant, the judgment for sin is satisfied. So, if we have faith in Christ, that's why the Bible says your sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? No, you keep going and going, it is pretty far. They're cast in the sea of forgetfulness. God don't remember them because the judgment for sin has been satisfied as long as we believe in Christ. You don't want to continue to sin, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a hardened heart, and your faith is going to lose out, and you're not going to have faith. Okay? It doesn't give us a free license to sin. The old covenant originated with Abrahamic law, and the law of Moses came along. These are the requirements of the law. I gave that story. There were requirements of the law. That's what the law of Moses was. It was the requirements of the covenant between God and Abraham. This is what I'll do. This is what you're to do. Okay. Well, now with the new covenant, we have a new and better covenant. The promises are better. Everything's better. Well, if the promises are better than the old, that means the old promises must not even go away. They're still available. You want to read the promises, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Promises in the law of being a participant in the covenant. Now, the curse of the law is, and here's the deal catcher that you need to get a hold of, is Jesus fulfilled the law and redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is no curse in the new covenant. There is no curse. The old covenant had a curse. Well, that's because man could not keep the covenant. Jesus, he fulfilled the old covenant by keeping every part of it. So he became the sacrifice. But then with the new covenant, the New Testament, Jesus ain't going to break the covenant. Because Jesus can't break it, there's no need for a curse, and we are redeemed from the curse of that law. You'll think of on that one. That'll set you free once you realize, when you go before God, that you're free from the curse, that his promises are yes and amen. I don't care what you've done in life, he loves you. I don't care what you can't do, he loves you. I don't care what you can do, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. I don't care what you're up against, he has an answer for you. and he has a provision for you. And that provision is founded upon a blood covenant that you cannot break because he didn't make it with you. He made it with Jesus, the Son of God. And we are participants in that covenant simply by faith in him. It says we are joint heirs with Christ. God gave all his glory to Christ. What Christ has is us, he's given to us. So I don't care what you need. If you need help in a relationship, if you need healing in your body, if you need provision, God's here. If you never accepted Christ, he loves you. Just come to him. Come to him. If you accepted Christ, stepped into relationship with a father, your family, that's what relationship is. But if you've stepped out of fellowship with the Father, well, get back in fellowship because you're family. The prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, I believe it's in Luke, talks about the one wayward son going off. Here I got these cotton balls again. He goes off and he blows everything in his inheritance. He was family. He was a son. And he still blew it. He went off, but he came back. And you know what? That father, this is such an example of our Heavenly Father and what's going on. Is he was watching. It says he was watching for his son's return. And when he seen him coming, he went out to meet him. Not because of what he had done, but because he loved him with an unconditional love that could not be broken. Now, he brings him in, has a party. Now, here's something interesting, if you catch this, about covenant and what's going on, how this is going. The older son, of course, he stayed there all the time. He's kind of getting upset here. Yeah, you never had a party for me. You never killed the fatted calf, never put a robe on me. La, la, la. Feeling sorry for himself. Now, here's the interesting thing. The father says to his son, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. All that God has is ours. Because we're family. Think about that. He didn't have to earn it. He's family. We're family because of the shed blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are family. I like your music. Embarrassing moment in life, huh? You can send them a text, say. Anyways, in conclusion, our provision, God's provision, what is, we have access to it, everything, and it cannot, it's there. It's there for all eternity. All we have to do is believe in Christ. Ask. Sometimes we don't even ask. I think Cindy said, ask. Believe that you've received, and you can ask in confidence because what's the foundation of the promise? It's the blood of Jesus. We have full access. I'd like to close, and if anyone needs prayer for anything, someone will pray for you. Just come up. Kids will come up and sing a song. If you want to recommit your life, if you never accepted Christ and you want to, if you're in need of something and you just want to join faith with someone else, we'll pray for you. Or two or more gathered together, he is there amongst us. So, and we'll just, you know, if anyone needs prayer, please come forward, and then we'll close. If you need to leave and you want to go, you're free to go too. I'm going to close in prayer, and they're going to play. And I hope this has helped your believer. I hope you can go, and the next time you're faced with a situation, you know why God will come through for you. It's all in the blood. So you sing a blood song about, you know, why we take communion. All because it was so good. Father God, I thank you. I praise you for your word. I thank you for your joy and your peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, for you have prepared things for us that we can't even imagine. I thank you for your love. Nothing can separate us from your love. Jesus, I thank you for having us on your mind that day, that kept you on track and you went through with all of this just for us. Father God, I ask that we would return that love to you. Help us to have an understanding how deep that love is. And your love compels us to love. It compels us to give to you. It compels us to reach out. For we have your very nature within us. Lord, it's a joy to give because you give and you give and you give. You're the giver of life. Father, go with us today and throughout the week, and may your blessings rest upon all. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.